the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
To start with all the stuff that Donald Trump is up with, we're joined by Carl Thomas and Marion McKeown. And Carl, let's start with you. And tariffs. Tariffs to make imports to America more expensive that will push up prices for all of the Americans that Donald Trump represents. I mean, what's the game here?
Well, it's a game of chicken, Matt, and this is the way Trump likes to play the game. In his book, Art of the Deal, and in his behavior, he thinks that he can cajole other nations to do his will. Now, I've been in Europe many, many times, and I've been in China, and I've been in Canada, but I don't see a plethora of American cars, just for one example. We, according to Trump, and I think he's right on this, we have a trade deficit with a lot of countries in Europe and in Canada and in other places, and he's simply trying to level the playing field. Despite what you think about the reaction of outgoing Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau and the President of Mexico, Sheinbaum, they seem to have, at least in part, agreed to some of his demands on controlling the border, putting troops at the northern and southern border to control the fentanyl coming in from China. Trump says he's going to talk to Chinese President Xi later this week, and I'm sure fentanyl will be on the table.
There's a number of things there. Maybe if America built better cars, we'd be driving in the European Union. And I say that we had a Chrysler at home for a number of years, but we were happy to swap it for a Volvo, which actually is a Swedish company owned out of China. But there you go. Maybe if you had better cars at more affordable prices, we would buy them. And in fact, Tesla car sales have dropped dramatically in Ireland in recent months, we discovered today. Marion McKeown, a number of things brought up there by Cal. But first of all, this idea that Canada and Mexico have been forced into doing things to avoid having the tariffs imposed upon them. How true is that?
It's grossly exaggerated. Look, Matt, we spoke a couple of weeks back, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think, about how Trump invents a crisis to make it look like he has resolved it. And the whole thing is just smoke and mirrors and heat and dust and what have you. So if you look closely at what the deals were, now, Canada had already agreed to implement a $1.3 billion border plan, which includes helicopters, technology, military and other personnel, and coordination with its American partners. That was announced as part of this concession. That was agreed in December with the Biden administration. It also said that it had, and if you look at the wording of Trudeau's statement, which I have, he says that the people are and will be on the border, the military people. There are already 8,500 of the 10,000. They've already been on the border for years. So maybe another 1,500 will come. You know, maybe there's 1,500 more in the pipeline. But the fact is, and the other thing that I really should point out is only 0.2% of fentanyl comes into the US from Canada. That is a really important statistic. So it's a tiny, tiny fraction. So this whole thing about Canada not dealing with fentanyl issues is a nonsense. And if you look at these statistics, and we've got to stick with statistics at the risk of sounding wonky, because the truth, you know, if you don't ground yourself in the truth here, it's very hard to keep track of all this fire hose of nonsense coming out of the White House. So 86.6% of convicted fentanyl drug traffickers in the US in 2021 and 22 were American citizens. It is Americans who are bringing fentanyl over the borders from Mexico and to a much lesser degree Canada. It is not, by and large, drug smugglers or illegal immigrants. So I think that's really important to remember as well. And with Mexico, they'd already agreed to the troops. There are already 15,000 Mexican troops on the border. All of the stuff, apart from a couple of teeny, teeny concessions that Trump says he got by threatening tariffs, had already been agreed with Biden. So it's important to remember that.
And the tariffs, as I was putting to you, Carl, would do enormous damage to the American economy. They would put your prices up dramatically. Now, he's backtracked in relation to Canada and Mexico, but there's a number of people getting in touch with me to suggest, and I've seen this been suggested by quite a few people, that creating this nonsense moves stock markets. And if you threaten a tariff and it moves stock markets, and then you remove the threat and the stock markets move again, there are people who are going to profit from that. Could they possibly be friends of the Trump administration?
Well, there are tariffs. You talked about a moment ago about if we made better cars, then maybe more Europeans and Canadians would buy them. But let me remind you that Europeans and Canadians have tariffs on American cars that make the cars more expensive. And so naturally, people are going to go for the cheaper cars, whether it has to do with quality or not. Look, I think this is a game. Trump promised to lower prices on grocery items, on gasoline and other things. He's only been in office 2 weeks. So I'm willing to wait for a few more weeks to see how this all plays out. He goes back to President William McKinley a very long time ago in U.S. history, who loved tariffs and believed that tariffs worked to protect American workers. There have been a couple of labor unions in the United States that have said already that while they don't agree with all of Trump's policies, they're pretty okay with him trying to protect jobs in Detroit and in other places where a lot of their union union members work. So let's see how all this plays out. It's a little early to reach conclusions. And the polls show that 60%, more than 60% of Americans are okay with Trump's policy so far.
We have a listener here from Toronto in Canada who's a regular getting in touch with the program, says, the way the whole country came together to a degree in all of Canada response was amazing. Along with retaliatory tariffs, provinces were ready to ban US alcohol, bar US companies for tendering for contracts, etc. I know Canada's a lot smarter than the US, but I think he came to the realization this would not go down well with his base and was looking for a way out. In particularly, Cal, I suspect he realized that the United States of America cannot do without Canadian energy supplies. And if those were cut off by the Canadians in retaliation, then you were going to have a massive surge in the price of a tank of petrol, for example.
Well, it works both ways again, Matt. I mean, if they cut off the petrol, then they're going to limit their own income. And that's going to be a problem for the Canadian people. Look, I think this is going to be worked out. I think it's a lot of excitement right now. People love this. The media like to fan the flames because it gets eyeballs and on their television networks, especially cable and newspaper. So I wouldn't worry about it. I'm not worried about it. If it drives up prices in a couple of months or so, then I'll take another look at it.
Marion, would you be as blasé as that, given that there are also tariffs on China, which is ratcheting up the economic war between the United States and China, and threats of tariffs against us in the European Union?
Yeah, Cal, I don't know what you're smoking in D.C. or in Florida or wherever you are today, but you sound remarkably chilled out about the prospects of this massive global trade war. Very quickly on the Canada energy thing, one of the reasons Trump pulled back is America relies on Canada for 4 million barrels of crude oil a day. 40% of its energy comes from Canada. Canada supplies electricity to 30 American states. Your Canadian listener is exactly right. America cannot afford to tick off Canada, because at the moment with Ukraine and all the energy shortages in Europe, there are plenty of markets for Canadian crude. So I think that that is an issue. But no, what this is doing is it's creating huge uncertainty. And Trump should know, and his buddies on Wall Street could tell him, the markets hate uncertainty. Businesses hate uncertainty. They want to know so they can plan for 4 years, for 10 years. They don't run like governments. They're not up for re-election every 2 years. And this is having a really sort of jittery effect on the markets and on American businesses, and none of it is good. And we've seen, and the world sees Trump's playbook. He's only got one playbook, where he waves this big stick, he invents some problem, waves a big stick, tries to look like a big strong guy, and then caves. So they kind of know how to play him. So none of it is particularly effective. None of it is going to work, but it could cause huge economic consequences, absolutely.
Okay,
I'm just looking at the markets, and the Dow is up, the Nasdaq is up 177 points. The S&P are up, so I don't know what kind of market you're talking about, Marion, and I'm not smoking anything, especially fentanyl.
Let's move on to other issues. Let's talk a little bit about U.S. aid to the rest of the world. Mm. Let's hear a little bit that the White House Press Secretary, Caroline Leavitt, when she answered a question from reporters about Elon Musk's alleged expertise in deciding about the area of international aid.
What expertise he has in the areas of global health or humanitarian younger in age be able to assess what's happening at USAID?
Well, first of all, Elon Musk is a once-in-a-generation business leader. He is an entrepreneur. He serves as a great ally and a friend to the president. And I think Elon Musk also has a little bit of common sense. And I think the American people really appreciate that when it comes to the federal government, because it seems like all common sense has been lost in this city. And that's what you see when you look at USAID. I know Secretary Rubio made some comments about how he will be acting as the director over that agency. And here's the reason why Elon Musk and others have been taking a look. Because if you look at the waste and abuse that has run through USAID over the past several years, these are some of the insane priorities that that organization has been spending money on. $1.5 million to advance DEI in Serbia's workplaces, $70,000 for a production of a DEI musical in Ireland, $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia, $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru. I don't know about you, but as an American taxpayer, I don't want my dollars going towards this crap, and I know the American people don't either, and that's exactly what Elon Musk has been tasked by President Trump to do, to get the fraud, waste, and abuse out of our federal government. Thank you.
Now, Cal, can you tell us where this €70,000 DIE musical in Ireland was staged? Because nobody over here seems to know anything about it.
Well, you know, the thing about a lot of this waste is that it goes into a black hole and never results in anything. As a fan of musicals, Matt, I'm really interested in this because I want to see if any of the songs equal anything that's done by, let's say the Oh Danny Boy or Clannad or Enya or, you know, my favorite, Mary Black. Somehow I doubt it. But this is...
But sorry, Cal, sorry. No, sorry. I have to stop you there because...
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
it says, well, sorry. Yeah. We just like to know if she's telling the truth or if she's invented something.
No, she didn't finish the list. There's a lot more. $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia, $6 million to fund tourism in Egypt. Why is that an interest of the United States? This is the problem, and this is one of the things that Elon Musk has been tasked to look for. Waste, fraud, and abuse in government. A lot of this stuff never makes it to the end. It just goes into this enormous black hole. Nobody knows where the money is going. It's true in a lot of government programs. Ronald Reagan used to say, the only proof of eternal life in Washington is a government program. It's easier to kill a vampire than a government program. And some of this stuff Musk is looking into, and it's about time.
Do we have proof of these allegations that have been made that the money was actually spent, Marion, in the way that she said?
Well, I tried to get onto the USAID website and to try and get some information about this 70,000 because I was also fascinated about this Irish play, allegedly. But the website has been completely shut down. And I've been told by two people who I know who work for USAID that they've had Elon Musk bring in some teenagers, as they were described, who are quizzing them and asking them to justify their jobs. It is insane what's going on. Even if what Caroline Levitt said is true, that is about, what, $1.7 million out of a $74 billion budget. Now, I worked in Somalia for a couple of years and I worked on the Syrian border for a couple of years as well. We worked with USAID and let me tell you, the hoops that you had to go through and the lines, and there was no waste. They were meticulous and to their credit in tracking where the money was going. But the consequences now are USAID funds half of the World Health Programme, which is run by Cindy McCain, who's an excellent CEO. Food is not getting into Gaza today because it's all been blocked. Food is not, and also USAID buys a lot of food from American farmers, millions and millions and billions of dollars worth to bring for humanitarian crises. Who's going to buy that food now?
Marion,
chaotic.
What about the 50 million spent on condoms for Hamas?
Well, again, we've all asked for proof of that, and there's no proof of that whatsoever. It's a fiction.
You see, Cal, let me go back to Calness. Cal, you can throw out all of these allegations and accusations, and a lot of people will believe it. But, you know, proof. Proof would be useful, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, yes, it would, Matt. But as I say, a lot, you know, you talk about food being blocked going into Gaza. Who's doing the blocking? It's been Hamas. Hamas is reconstituting. Hamas is regrouping. Hamas is still holding hostages, and it's blocking food imports. This stuff has been going on for years, Matt, and the American people have been pretty much blind to it. What Musk is rooting out now is these things. Let's see if the proof is there. Let's see where the money went. Let's see where the various congressional investigative committees can find where the money went. a lot of this stuff goes out of Washington and you never see it again. It's like a bird that goes into flies south of the.
You're old enough to remember Lyndon Johnson, who was president around the time I was born. But wasn't he the man who famously said, throw out an allegation there and let's see the bastards deny it? And isn't that what's going on? Isn't that what's happening here?
Well, my turn?
Yeah, go on.
Well, I knew Lyndon Johnson, and I used to walk around the White House where he pulled the dog's ears and spouted other things. It sounds like a quote of his, but I've not heard it before. He lied about a lot of things, including the Gulf of Tonkin resolution that got us involved in the Vietnam War, where, according to this list from Elon Musk, we are spending a lot of money. Oh, $2.5 million for electric vehicles for Vietnam. I don't think 55,000 people died in that war so that Vietnamese could drive electric cars. But
even Tesla? You know,
yeah, even Tesla's right. But I think that we need to have these congressional committees look into this, where the money went. We're at the initial stages of this. Again, the administration has only been in power for a couple of weeks. It's going to take a long time to dig this out, and it needs to be dug out and the money saved and the debt reduced. $36 trillion, we can't go on like this.
Marion, let's move to what's happening in our flights to Guantanamo Bay. It seems like there's going to be an exceptionally large detention centre set up there. What do we know of this?
Well, we know that a flight has already left today for Guantanamo Bay. Guantanamo Bay has been used as an immigration detention centre before by I think, the George H. Bush administration, which possibly bled into the Clinton administration. Usually it's used when people are trying to cross to America illegally by sea, frequently from Cuba, and they intercept them on whatever dinghies or boats they're on and brought them to Guantanamo. So it looks like they're going to be using it again. But I think what's interesting here is Trump is saying they're going to have beds for 30,000 people. How are they going to pay for the transportation and the cost of setting this up and the monitoring and all of the rest for 30,000 people? But I think there's also, I don't think it will happen. I think it'll be Trump again. He wants the symbolic win. He wants a flight of migrants going to Guantanamo, because what he wants is to equate undocumented migrants with the criminals who were held after 9/11, the sort of the people who attacked America. So he wants to make an equivalence between the two. And I think that's largely the main goal in this. We'll see how many people end up there. As I say, I think this is a stunt, like so many Trump stunts. He wants the headline. Let's see the follow-up.
So what do you think of this, Cal?
Well, I think the new Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, has met with Maduro in Venezuela. And according to press reports, Maduro has agreed to take back Venezuelan gang members and criminals. So I think that's all a good thing. A lot of these raids that are going on in New York and Washington and other places are living up to Trump's promise to root out the criminal aliens first. And I think most Americans, according to the polls, are very much in favor of that. The New York Post has a story today. It went into an area of Queens that has been dominated by Venezuelan gangs and prostitutes and all kinds of other lowlifes. And all the people that were interviewed there, who are legal citizens and residents of that borough in New York City, are very fine with it and are complimenting the administration for taking action that the Biden administration never did.
How would you feel, Cal, with something similar when applied to Irish illegal people living in the United States? 8 years ago, I went to the United States to make a TV documentary which featured this. In fact, I went to your home then in Washington at the time to interview you. But I also spoke to many Irish people who had gone over in the 1980s in particular, at a time of economic recession here, who had spent their lives since in America, have been afraid to go home to Ireland in case they couldn't get back, have had jobs, who pay their taxes, but who are still technically illegal. Should they be turfed out of the United States, America, having spent 20, 30, 40 years there, sent home on the basis that they're not there properly?
No.
Why not?
Of course not. Well, first of all, we're not talking about them right now. If Irish people have committed crimes and they're here illegally, that's another issue. But that, I haven't seen anything about that. We're talking about Venezuelan gangs. We're talking about the worst of the worst, people who commit. This is what the Lakin Riley Act that was just signed by President Trump. this woman who went out for a job, she was a student for a jog. She went out. She was a student in Georgia. She went out for a job. She was murdered by a predatory Venezuelan gang member. These are the kinds of people that are being targeted, not Irish people who've been here for 40 years and have obeyed the law.
Marion, that's not necessarily always the case, is it? Because in these sweeps that take place, there are a lot of people who have had no criminal connections or involvement either back in their place of birth or in the United States. And indeed, there are others who are children of people who have been caught up and moved.
Yeah, look, I think basically we have to take Trump's Tom Homan, his immigration czar, at his word. Tom Homan has told us repeatedly in dozens of interviews that anybody who is here in America who is not documented will be deported. And he said that he doesn't care if they've never committed any crimes. He doesn't care if their only crime was to outstay a visa, which is initially a civil offence, by the way. It only becomes a crime if you're deported and you come back. He said that anybody who is here illegally is going to be deported. And he said that not only that, if they have family members who are American citizens, he said they can choose. They can either have their families broken up or they can self-deport with the non-American status members of their family. So this is just not true. They're going after everybody. Look, Cal, nobody has a problem with deporting criminals. Nobody. The Biden administration did that. The Obama administration did that. Hundreds of thousands. Nobody has a problem with that. What people have a problem with, and I think what a lot of Americans have a problem with, is seeing their communities being ripped apart. I think big industry, including the meat processing and food agricultural industries, have problems with suddenly having empty worker accommodation where there's nobody to do the meat processing, there's nobody to pick the vegetables. But, you know, I said the gutting of communities. Teachers are having problems at the moment because kids are not turning up for school because their parents are afraid to send them to school in case they get rounded up in some way or they get identified. So all this is causing huge uncertainty in America, and I don't think the American people supported by and large.
Thank you very much, Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas. That's all we have time for.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.